Welcome. Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today, talking sports.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. You want to join the ride and call in? Let's talk some sports. 718-664-9098. Like always, you can shoot us your emails. We read them on the air sometimes. RayandTayToday@gmail.com. The website's interactive, RayandTayToday.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and tweet at us at RayandTayToday. Twitter's been busy lately with Ray and Tay. A lot of people, like, we love your feedback. Thank you. A lot of folks enjoyed the Randall Cunningham interview at the NFL Draft Review Show. You can go back and find that on RayandTayToday.com and check it out and listen to it. So, Ray, let them know we're talking about everything today.
Oh, yeah. We've got a quick-hitting show. We've got a lot of subjects to get on. So let's give them a preview. So we're going to talk about the breaking news in the NFL. We've got a PED suspension. May explain some increased performance at an older age. We'll get into that. We'll talk NHL. We've got one team ready for the finals. We got another team, two teams going to a game seven. So we love that. I should say the conference, you know, our conference finals are almost set in both conferences. We'll talk about Michael Sam signing with Oprah. We'll talk about the NBA, but not yet the playoffs. We'll talk about the draft combine. So we've got a lot of folks in Chicago right now trying to impress the scouts. We'll talk about that. We'll get into Major League Baseball. We've neglected Major League Baseball a little bit over the last few weeks.
Baseball is my love.
Draft. But baseball has been very, very good to me. And we'll talk about what's going on in the world of baseball. We got a couple outstanding pitchers. We got one outstanding pitcher just went down, Tommy John surgery, but we got another couple coming back, one from Japan, one from injury last year. So we'll talk about that for sure, and then we'll get into it. Conference finals are set. Remember I said wake me up in April. Well, it's May, and we have one versus two in both the Eastern and the Western Conference. So each team took a slightly different path to get there, but it's essentially 1-2, 1-2. So we'll talk about that. Heat, Pacers, Thunder, Spurs starting on Sunday.
Yeah, well, let's get into it, man. You're dragging it out. Let's get into it. Come on.
We got a lot to talk about. All right.
I know.
Let's segment. I'm sorry. So we got a lot to talk about. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it, man. Robert Mathis goes from a career high a couple years ago, 11.5 sacks, to this year winning Defensive Player of the Year, 19.5 sacks, caught with PED use, tested positive. Maybe he'll fight it, maybe he won't. But at 32 years old, it's the oldest person to over 32 years of age to get that many sacks. He suspended four games, Ray. What does that do? I just threw it out there on Twitter. What does that do to the Colts, their defense, and their chances to win the AFC South?
So I haven't looked at their schedule. I have to apologize. I don't know their first four opponents. But I know that it makes it a lot more difficult to get out to a great start. So while we're on the air, I'll pull up their schedule. It's tough. Robert Mathis, the anchor of their defense, and everybody plays off of his pass rush on defense. They don't have the best defense in the world. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Andrew Luck and that offense. And, what more can you say?
If you can't get a pass rush. Yeah. And remember what that pass rush did to Peyton Manning when they beat the Broncos. It was Mathis who got the safety and terrorized Manning all game. So that would be – I think that's crucial. You know, and it almost doesn't matter the schedule because, you know, I mean, granted, who knows, you're going to have the young kid, I think, from BYU, Brent Warner.
Opens at Denver.
Denver, that's right, yeah, Sunday Night Football.
This is the power of the Internet. Let me give you the Indianapolis Colts schedule. So they open up against Denver on Sunday night, and then they come back. They have a long week. They host Philly, And then the third week they're at Jacksonville, and then they host Tennessee. So first two games are tough. Next two games are not that bad.
Yeah, but they're division games.
And then Baltimore, you know, in week five, Sunday,
yeah.
October 5th.
No, Pat. Well, we'll see how it goes, you know. Maybe they could have been 2-2 with him or 2-2 without him. We'll see how it turns out. But also the NFL, man. There's all this stuff about Johnny Manziel tweeting out to the quarterback coach, hey, you know, come draft me. Let's go do this thing together. You guys got to come get me.
So
and
here's my
supposedly,
question. Did Johnny do that to other teams? Or was it only the Colts? Was he tweeting the Vikings? Was he tweeting the
Titans?
Yeah,
I wonder.
Was he tweeting the other teams too?
You know what it is?
Or
this is the problem, though, with the Browns, right? They're going back and forth. Do you want to go ahead and tell him, you're not this, you're not that, whatever, you're the backup, act that way, and then, you know, he gets you over 2,000 season ticket people, and then the next day you're sort of leaking out that this guy made some cool text that might have influenced the organization to get him because they realize he really wants to be there. I mean, the Browns have got to just shut it all down, and it's coming from them, whether it's coming from him, you know what I mean? It was one of their coaches who was on a radio show in Arkansas. He needs to come on Ray and Tate today. But definitely, you know, these things happen. And I tell you what's happening on the field. The Browns are trying to get Manziel or Hoyer some receivers. So they did cut Greg Little, but they signed two veterans, Earl Bennett from the Bears and Miles Austin from Ray's Cowboys, often hamstring injured Miles Austin. If these two guys are healthy, they can definitely contribute with the tight end, the running backs. We'll see what happens. Greg Little, very little production in the field, so that's why he's gone. And NFL maybe, Ray, changing. We'll see their drug policy, you know, for the recreational drugs, and we'll see how much Gordon gets. There's no announcements yet. Everybody's just speculating that he'll be gone for the whole season, but we don't know. So
that's a
we'll
big
see.
Loss.
And boy, let me ask you about the Rams, though. We'll get to Michael Sam before we leave the NFL. But with the Rams cutting down Richardson, does that mean our man, your man, Plug 4, Trey Mason, is going to get a crazy playing time? Because he's going to split carries
so.
Now with Zach Stacy. Yeah?
You got to believe so, yeah. Darrell Richardson was firmly in the rotation, and now that he's gone, you got to think of Trey Mason. Look, running back is the one position in football which you can almost plug and play. I mean, you need to worry about third down and pass protection, but other than that, give the ball, let him read the hole, hit the gap, and run. So it's the one position in football that's probably the easiest for a rookie to step in and make an impact.
Yeah, no, should be. Definitely should be. So let's talk about it. Michael Sam, it's out there on Twitter. You know, some people are responding back, but I got to ask you, did he potentially hurt his chances to make the team by signing a documentary reality show sort of videotaping his experience as he's trying out for the Rams? I don't think it's going to be on the field. It'll probably be afterwards off the field. But still, to me, I think it's a distraction. I wouldn't have done it. What are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I think it's a mistake. You're a seventh-round pick. Look, he'll make the team because I think he's talented. He's a seventh-round pick, but that's not a normal seventh-round pick. You usually don't get the SEC Player of the Year, co-defensive Player of the Year in the seventh round. So I think he should have been a fourth or fifth rounder. But putting that aside, this is just a distraction. Do this later. Do this when you've made the team. Do this when you've made a few plays. I understand what you're trying to do, but you're sending mixed messages because on the one hand, you're
and you also said
about
you didn't want to do this. You
well,
sort of said that you wanted to be about football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you said, you know, I need to make some money because I'm a seventh rounder and my contract is a seventh rounder contract, I get that. I get that, but you told us that this was all about football, and it should be, and who cares about the sexual orientation? It should be all about football. So normal seventh rounders are not bringing cameras to the facility or making reality TV shows. So if it's all about football,
right.
Let
and
it be all
fair,
about football.
It might not be at the facility. I mean, we don't know
okay,
that.
But my point is you need to be about football. You need to be about making the team. Maybe in a year or two, make a documentary. But first make the team, first learn the defense, first make an impact, and make it all about football at first. So I was a little disappointed. But, hey, you know what? He's a trailblazer, and even though he says it's all about football, it's not all about football. He's got a lot more.
Yeah. I think he's aware that there's a bigger responsibility,
player.
Too.
Yeah.
And I think he's aware. And maybe it's, you know, kudos to Oprah. And, hey, maybe it's also good that if he doesn't make the team – people see it on camera potentially and the experience fair and square. So maybe it's good all ways around. We don't know. So let's keep it moving. But listen, I'll just say this because it's been all over the news today or whatever with the Sterling and the family. And this thing is going to be in courts forever. We've said that before. But it is going to be a mess. You know it's going to be a mess. And I just don't think the NBA is going to be able to figure this out before the season starts. So the NBA is going to have a huge cloud. Huge cloud over its head.
It's
so let's talk about
the Dodgers with the McCourts. It's going to go on for a couple years.
Yeah, it could.
Especially if they throw bankruptcy. You know. I mean, not bankruptcy. Especially if they throw divorce in there.
Divorce, yeah.
Because then Shelly Sterling will say, "I want half the team." So it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, they're saying
really
you know
has
she
to take him
she,
aside.
She wants to get
it
to the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the kid was the head of basketball operations, right? The son-in-law, the daughter's husband or something?
Yeah, the son has come out. His son, I think, is Eric Sterling, has come out pretty strong against his father. But, yeah, no, it's, we'll see how it all plays out. So let's talk about the hockey real quick, man, before we get to baseball and then the NBA. My Rangers, I'm so happy. I picked them. They won in the tough, grueling series. And we'll see Saturday. The conference final starts for them in the East. Do you think the Rangers will win? I'm actually going to stick with the Rangers, even over the Canadiens, who you had over the Bruins. I had the Bruins. Rangers or Montreal Canadiens?
I like
still
the Canadiens.
The original six.
But not only
yeah.
this, but also the breaking news in hockey is that the Penguins fired their GM, Ray Shiro.
Oh, yes. I knew that was coming, yeah.
You lose. You bring the title home in 2009. You've got Sid the Kid. You had a bunch of really top-notch players.
Early
not a great goaltender.
Eliminations,
but, yeah, you've been disappointing the last few years, and you get the heave-ho. So the new GM is going to come in, and the status of the coach – Dan Bylsma is still up in the air, so we'll see what the Rangers do. But I like the Canadiens actually. I think
okay.
the Rangers run stops.
And I'm
fourth,
sticking with the Rangers. Lundqvist, man, and the go, great. The whole team is going to the funeral for Saint Louise, who was the mother that passed away. So that was. It was the mother, but I know his parents passed away. So the whole team showing up for that. I thought that was really classy. And then on the other. Tonight, Minnesota lost. Chicago won game, six? The question is now, for the Blackhawks, who do they play? Do they wind up playing my LA Kings or your – did you take – you took the Ducks, right?
No.
Took
I
Anaheim.
Kings too.
Okay,
Kings.
So you're down
yeah,
with
like,
me. So we're rolling together with the Kings.
Yeah, I like
the Kings. It's going to be a good game seven either way. You definitely like to see these game sevens and what both the NHL and NBA.
In any sport, I watch game seven
right.
in
but no,
like
this year,
cricket.
You know, hockey and the NBA, but listen, both of them have had nine. So this is a great year for hockey and for the NBA. So that's
NBA,
pretty awesome.
Most of the excitement was in the first round, but hopefully these conference finals will be good.
Yeah, no, and we'll get to that. So let's talk baseball because right now, in Detroit, Milwaukee, San Francisco, and Oakland, there's some teams and some fans that are feeling pretty good about themselves and looking pretty good. Just tell me what you think so far, the role, and just how sort of surprisingly dominant the San Francisco Giants have been playing the best baseball in the majors.
Yeah, you know, I had them middle of the pack. I thought that was a brutal division they're in. With Colorado and the Dodgers, I still think that they're going to be third, believe it or not. I don't think that the Giants are going to continue. But, hey, give them credit. They're doing it. I take my hat off to them and the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, everybody knows St. Louis is tough, Atlanta's tough, Washington's tough. So those teams, you know, all right, if they're over 500 and leading their divisions, then that's fine. But Milwaukee and San Francisco, wow. That's fabulous. And you know what's amazing is that this San Francisco team is actually scoring some runs. So we knew they could pitch, but I didn't know that they could score. So they're actually scoring a few runs and, ranked eighth in the league in runs scored. Not bad.
But they got scrappy hitters. They got scrappy hitters with Pence And Buster,
yeah,
they got some guys
that,
you know.
I don't know that you have a bomb squad offense with scrappy hitters, you know. Scrappy hitters only get you so far.
But be fair. Think about even Boston and St. Louis. I think both of those teams last year in the World Series, they didn't have, like, these Hall of Fame or star players. I think there were a lot of, you know, two-pitch count, you know, two strikes on them hitters that they can, you know, get you base hits, doubles, and, you know, really hit it for a higher batting average. I think both those teams have scrappy players on them, Red Sox and Cardinals.
You still had your Pedroias and your David Ortizes and such. I mean,
yeah,
you know, Angel
Pagan
is leading the Giants. And I guess Buster Posey, Hunter Pence are nice, but Michael Morris and Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford.
Right, but, yeah,
Pablo
Michael
Sandoval
Morris, that was a good pickup.
He's
struggling. That's the thing. I cut him off my fantasy baseball team. He's struggling. So if he picks it up, they're going to be playing a lot better. He's more of a bigger bat on that team. He's not playing those baseball cards.
I just don't think they can keep it up. I think that their offense is going to ultimately be their downfall. I think Colorado and the Dodgers for sure are going to catch them. But we'll see. I mean, look, right now, best record in baseball, can't take it from them. And it's not over, you know, 10 games. I mean, they got quite a – you know, quite a little thing going on, you know, in San Francisco. By the way, you need to make it out there. That's a fantastic ballpark to watch games at.
I haven't been to that park yet, and that's definitely on the list.
42 games.
Well, actually, don't forget
the quarter of the way down the season, you know, through the season. So kudos to the Giants.
And don't forget the Tigers, though. Tigers are just a little bit better in percentage points than the Giants. So I think the Tigers are doing really great. And then when you talk about this pitching, gosh, our boy from the Marlins, Fernandez, you know, gets hurt and another Tommy John surgery.
21
I don't
years
know
old.
What is that, like three ace pitchers already this year? Or in the last 2 years, three or four aces going down with Tommy John. That's, you know, you just hate to see it. But also what's interesting, let's give some props because, you know, Tay was on it. I was on my man Johnny Cueto. I mean, they're not playing 500 ball yet. But now with Aroldis Chapman back and they're looking good, 18-21, the Cincinnati Reds, Ray, they're starting to heat up, and I think they're going to make a little run in that. And Brandon Phillips, the boys are looking good. Got to get Jay Bruce, you know, back together. But I think the
my
Cincinnati
man Joey
Reds,
Votto's not playing. I've always thought Joey Votto had MVP potential. But
yeah.
Oh, he's killing me in
he's
fantasy.
Not,
he's killing
not,
me in real life. He's just killing me. Joey, come on. Step it up.
Joey Baseball, we want you to step up. But your man, the young kid from Chicago, Jose Abreu, he's doing good. I'm telling you, him and Tanaka. I threw this out on Twitter. Forget Rookie of the Year. Tanaka's looking at maybe being Cy Young. Him and Cueto are both starting off incredibly, pitching great.
I'm going to give you a crazy stat that I got to give Buster only some love.
This is the one about
Tanaka about the splitter.
Cueto.
So he throws the splitter. Tanaka throws the splitter 24% of the time, and when he throws the splitter, 51% of the time it's a swing and a miss. 51%. You know it's coming because he throws it one out of every four pitches, and half the time you can't. Major League Baseball players cannot hit his splitter.
Yeah. Well, listen, some of the best pitchers, we knew what was coming from them, right? And you couldn't stop it. It's just fascinating.
He's got five swing and miss pitches, Tanaka. He's wow. He's what, you know, the Red Sox thought they were getting, right, when they got Dice King.
Right. Well, yeah. Tanaka, he seems so, you know, it's so funny. He seems ice cold, man. Like, he's just like, ooh, and he's pitching, he's reeling and dealing. And you love to see it. I think real, real baseball fans, you know, sort of like football. Real football fans, they love when it's snowy and forget the perfect weather and the game is like 10-7 and it's these defensive battles that we used to see in the NFC in the playoffs, you know, when teams are going at it. You don't need 31-30. Sometimes 10-7 or 9-6 is, like, incredible to watch. Well, it's the same thing with true baseball fans, like true football fans. You love to see, oh, my goodness, 1-0, you know, 2-1, like these type of games. And Tanaka, the way he's pitching, Cueto, the guys on Detroit, you know, good pitching is exciting, especially for playoff baseball, you know. I look so forward to it. So.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is fun. I hate to do this to baseball because basketball to some degree too, because it comes in and out of focus just because they're on for so long. But yeah, we have keep baseball in mind because starting in about mid June, late June, you know, when basketball's over and we got that window before football.
Oh, God.
You know, we got to be talking.
Let's talk about mid. Let's talk about that mid June because we will be talking about one thing about the end of June and early July, the NBA draft and NBA free agency, and these guys at the combine. So your boy Jabari Parker decides not to show up yesterday. Did he come today, or is he just not going for the whole combine?
I saw yesterday he wasn't there. I don't know. I don't think he's there. Look, they're doing the football thing. All the top five are not even showing up, which is a shame because you're less apt to get injured.
Well, a lot of the guys come and don't do all the workouts. Wiggins was there yesterday, wasn't it? I think Wiggins was there for the measurables, and I think he's doing most of the workouts. And Bead, I think, I don't know because of the back. But what's fascinating to me, though, and we've spoken about it, just like the NFL, we had a big show about the draft. It, you know, might be the best draft in 20 years. Well, this might be one of the best drafts without a doubt in a while in the NBA, maybe since, what, the LeBron draft in 03, 04?
Yeah, I don't think there's that star power at the top of that draft, but it's deeper. It's deeper. The first round, even the second round, you might get some players. You might get a couple of starters potentially in the second
round.
Right,
we don't know if Parker is,
players for
or
sure.
Wiggins. Well, let's say Wiggins at his best. He might be Paul George.
Think about that draft. That was LeBron.
No, it's LeBron. It's Wade. No, I don't think it's as good.
Carmelo.
I'm not saying as good as that draft. I'm saying it's the
Bosh
next good.
Wade.
It's the it's not the best. It's the next bestest or the next goodest. It's almost as good. I'm gonna hit you in your heart right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna hit Ray in his heart. It's not Entenmann cookies good. Entenmann chocolate chip cookies good.
Ray will tell you to eat Entenmann, just a box of Entenmann cookies before we even took three breaths. We go to the store and get some Entenmann cookies. We couldn't even get that.
Be like, oh, it's only the third inning of the Yankee game. What are we gonna do?
Oh, we love the Entenmann. But no, let's do this though. On Tuesday, I think, what is it? Tuesday, right? The draft lottery.
Yeah, that's why they had the combine. And
we'll see who gets number one. We'll see if the Bucks, by virtue of the worst record, get number one. Maybe the Sixers. Maybe the Jazz.
Wow.
Right?
If it's the Sixers, they can improve really fast. You got to believe if they get one of the top three, four guys, they're gonna take a quick jump.
Think about it. They have New Orleans' pick potentially. They have Nerlens Noel. They have the rookie of the year in Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah.
So even though
Thaddeus Young, a good veteran. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though they tanked and made no bones about it, they are a very interesting team.
So let's take a quick little break, man, before we hit up the NBA. I'm feeling it. Ray and Tay, NBA, we'll be right back.
We're back, and we're back to talk NBA Conference Finals. So after all is said and done, they played 82 games. They played the first round. They played the second round. And we're back to one versus two, one versus two. So
classic.
In the East, Indiana's been playing for this all year long. They said, we have to go through Miami, and we want Game 7 to be at our place. I don't know if they'll get to a Game 7, but they got there. And they got exactly what they wanted, which is a seven-game best-of-seven series against the Heat, and they have home court. So what are your thoughts about
the Pacers? What if they start off 0-2 at home?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's comedy. If they start out 0-2 at home, I am going to just be cracking up. I'll tell you this. The Wizards gave them a heck of a fight. I'm proud of the Wizards. Good series. You know, John Wall still got to develop. The other guys have got to, you know, not the bad turnovers, you know, the poor shot selection. They work on that. But the Pacers won. It was kind of ugly, both series, but they're there. I got to ask you, when you're really honestly previewing this series, We're probably both going to pick the Heat in 6 or 7. I want to know, how do the Pacers win this series? I know that the difference is Evan Turner and Sciola. Maybe they play Chris Copeland, which they don't enough, and I think they should play him because he might actually help in this series.
He did help. In what game was that? In game
he was three
huge. of the
three or four.
Wizards.
Yeah,
when they really needed to win a game.
And did a lot of scoring. So what is it that we can – how can we just play it on the table? How do the Pacers win this series?
This is what they need to do. They need to go to a hypnotist, and they need to have hypnotherapy and basically bring them back in time to either the first half of this year or even the series with the Heat last year. So they just need to remember how they used to play, how they used to be strong defensively.
The cologne they used to wear.
How Roy Hibbert used to play big against this team, how they used to be tough-minded defensively. And, look, they have it in them because personnel-wise, look, it's just Danny Granger, but he wasn't part of those teams that really, really challenged the Heat. So it's
but
the
aren't
same
you concerned?
People.
Let me ask
well,
you, though.
Concerned.
Aren't you concerned?
I'm very concerned, but the glass is half
I'm saying
full.
When David West is your go-to scorer. That's concerning
that's
to me.
That's actually not bad against the Heat, though.
Well, but, true. That I give you that.
You know, if you can get Chris Bosh in foul trouble, then the game looks a whole lot different. But what I'm saying is the glasses half full tells me it's the same people that gave the Heat all they could handle, and they've been on a singular mission to do it. So forget
okay,
about
but
how
let me
you
ask
got
you this.
Here. Yeah.
Right. It's the same, and I totally agree with you, but the same wasn't enough. So I want to say, is it what you said, attacking Bosh with Wes, where he's scoring more than 20 a game, but also then maybe not more of Hibbert, but maybe less, so then offensively you're also attacking with Sciola when he comes in, because Sciola can score. And I think you have to score more inside on the post with Indiana, even though I don't like George Hill, per se, in terms of attacking on the perimeter, you could go at George Hill. But do you know what I mean? Do you think it should be a more dominant series of Wes and Sciola, maybe even less Hibbert, in terms of trying to offensively attack the Heat?
I think they're not going to outscore the Heat. They're not that talented where they can say, we're going to outscore the Heat. This isn't the Spurs that potentially could have beat the Heat, even though they're not as athletic, and if it weren't for an offensive rebound and a Ray Allen three in the corner, the Spurs would have beaten the Heat in 6 games last year. I think, unfortunately for them, they ride and die with their size, and they have to get Hibbert and his head right, and they can even get Ian Mahimi in the game and Luis Scola, maybe can give them some depth. But I think they have to go back to what got them there and what made them competitive against the Heat, which is size and intimidation. Because what you do is you cut off the middle and you make LeBron and Wade earn their baskets. You make them high-volume, low-percentage shooters. You have to play big against any other – because that's your advantage against the Heat. That's your only advantage against the Heat. You're not a better offensive team.
But I'm saying, how has it worked before? See, that's what I'm saying. If you're sort of going in there saying, I want to do that, and, maybe it's the definition of insanity when you do the same thing and expect a different outcome.
But it worked against the Heat, though. It worked against the Heat. It hasn't worked in the first 2 rounds for some reason in the last 20 games, but I think it's the only way they beat the Heat. If they try to get cute and play small, I think they lose in 5. They could lose in 4.
So,
they get swept.
So then you don't want to see Stevenson, Turner, and George on the floor at the same time, which is actually getting bigger, but it's
maybe
small,
for a handful of minutes here and there.
And then do that lineup with West and Sciola. See, to me, that's their best lineup. I like Turner, Stevenson, George.
Not against this Heat team, because this Heat team has a weakness and it's size. They don't play well against size. And if you go,
but if you're too big, they can run you off the court. right? Look,
but they haven't
like this,
in the past, though. Remember, this is the same roster that gave the Heat all they could handle. They won all the games in Indiana and lost all the games in Miami.
Right, but why did they lose the games? Don't you think there was times when the Heat would go on these spurts because of their great defense and turn them over and then run them off a court a little bit?
Yeah,
that's
sure,
my concern,
but that size, but without that size, they wouldn't have been in the game. They wouldn't have even been in the game. I just think that...
Okay. We'll see how it goes with Vogel. I think he saved his job. I'll say that. I'll definitely say that. Now, let's talk about this other series because... Oh, so what's your pick, though? I mean, for me, I'm going to say Miami in six.
Yeah,
I'll say
Miami in five. Unless the Pacers really turn it around, I got Miami in five. Which is funny because 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I would have said the Pacers in seven.
Wow.
But I might go Miami.
Yeah,
in five.
I was at that tipping point too. I think a lot of fans would agree with you right now. I don't know if they're mentally ready for that. So the Clippers are finally gone. And we have to salute OKC and what they do, and we hope, you hope Parker's healthy, and there's a whole Western story. You hope Parker's healthy, and then you hope our buddy's healthy, Serge Ibaka. But this is my concern. Forget about so much Spurs, OKC, with the Clippers. Was it just too much mentally and emotionally, the whole Sterling saga and everything, and just all that they were dealing with and whatever?
Partially because
Chris Paul...
Well, I don't think so.
And I'm saying he's a part of it and directly with
the You know what? I think it comes down to two excellent teams. It was a 2 and a 3 seed, right? So this, if they played 100 times, one team would win like 51, 52 times, and the other one would win 48. So to me, it's an excellent matchup, but the one who's going to have a horrible summer is Chris Paul, because game five was where this series was lost. They had the big lead. He had too many turnovers. They should have won game five. They would have been in a closeout scenario in game six. Maybe they win, maybe they don't. And then they would have had game seven as another chance to win this game. I just think you're right that this Donald Sterling thing didn't do them any favors. But I think once they got out of that Golden State round, I think they were freer and they could have won. And I just think it was an evenly matched series that came down to bad execution in the last 3 minutes of game five, and that's cost them the series.
I'm going to agree with you in a sense of this, but I'm going to say it in a sort of a different way. I think when you come to stars and how you win championships, stars are stars. I think overall, Chris Paul can hold his head up high. I think he played pretty daggone good for the majority of series, giving you 20 and 12 and a bunch of, he had 7 rebounds last night or 8 rebounds. Chris Paul played basketball. But I think Westbrook was better than him when he was at his best and was more explosive. And I think the same thing with, same with Griffin against Durant. Durant without Ibaka, 8 rebounds, 10 rebounds in the second half and had 16 total. And 39 points. I mean, are you kidding me? That's a heroic. I mean, that's a great performance.
That's MVP?
What it is. It's about. That's exactly why he's an MVP and the MVP, and he's ready. You may be young, well, they're not young anymore, but he's ready.
He's the most valuable poet on the MIC.
I think they've beaten the Spurs 5 in a row. They've won 4 out of 4-0 this season. 10 out of the last 12 games, OKC's beat the Spurs. Like you said, it's about matchups. This is not the best matchup for the Spurs. And I'll take a little banged-up Ibaka over a little banged-up Tony Parker, because Tony Parker is what drives the ship for them winning their next championship, if it's going to ever happen. I think OKC, Westbrook, Jackson, Fisher off the bench, Caron Butler, Adams, who's got to play, I think OKC beats the Spurs in 7 games.
I think the only way the Spurs win is if Ibaka's hurt. I go into the time machine. Work with me here on this one. Whoop, 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 whoop. Time machine.
Ta-da-dum.
San Antonio Spurs up 2-0 in the third quarter of the conference semis. And ever since that moment, when Westbrook and Durant took over for what looked like an old, aging Spurs team that was on their last leg. Turns out that they weren't. They went to the finals last year. They had the best record in basketball this year. They're back to the finals. But that those two teams, they just have their number. And unless an injury happens to the obviously if Tony Parker's out, they're in worse situation. Although Patty Mills, for short stretches of the game, can give you some offense.
I don't want to hear you nothing about Patty Mills, because he's the exact type of guy when I mention in Summer League and in different things or whatever, you're like, oh, I don't want to pay attention to him.
No, because the San Antonio Spurs have a whole other formula from the rest of basketball. They
Little transaction matters too. That's all I'm saying.
Danny Green and
Earl Bennett signing
means
something. Earl Bennett signing. He might catch the touchdown to make the playoffs for the Browns, which you predicted. So every signing counts.
But I think that the Spurs are in trouble because of that adage of play matchups make fights, and ever since that game 3 in the Western Conference Finals, the Oklahoma City, unlike the rest of the teams in the NBA, they don't fear the Spurs. They don't fear the Spurs' execution. They don't fear the Spurs' depth. And Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are just unstoppable against this team. And then out of nowhere, not only do you have Ibaka, who I think is important. If Ibaka's hurt, I think the Spurs win. But even if Tony Parker's hurt, believe it or not. But Reggie Jackson is out of his mind against the Spurs.
Against them.
So
and don't discredit Caron Butler and Steven Adams in this series. And Nick Collison, oh, by the way, has been playing great and hit a big three last night.
Yep.
You know, so
but against this team, Reggie Jackson is that third scorer.
Oh,
that
he's no
legitimate
joke.
Scorer that they haven't had since James Harden. So the Spurs, they're in trouble. They are in trouble. The matchup bothers me. Tony Parker's injury, of course, bothers me. They're lucky that this game isn't being played till Monday. I like the Thunder in six.
Yeah, that's what I believe. I got to say.
You got
Thunder
seven,
six
right?
Is...
You got the Thunder in seven or in six?
I got them in seven. I have the Heat in six and them in seven. You have the Heat in four.
Five.
You know, and that's OKC, man. The one thing is that, you know, I did like the Clippers getting Granger and stuff like that and Big Baby. But at the end of the day, the two best players, I think, on the court are probably – it's close with Parker, but it's definitely Durant and potentially Westbrook. And I think they're too much for the Spurs. It's going to be fun, though. The one thing we can't complain at this point with 1-1-2 versus 1-2, either NBA Finals will still be a great final. I mean, I'll tell you, this year I saw the Pacers play OKC both times. It was a classic, you know. So
they had to beat them towards the end to clinch the home court.
Oh, yeah. It was ridiculous. I mean, those games were great games, so – I think no matter what, we're in for a great final. I tell you this, though. I sure did want to see Clippers Heat. And you know who you could blame some of this on? DeAndre Jordan. He did, just like how he showed up so big in the Golden State series, if he would have showed up that big, it could have made a difference against OKC. And he did not. He did not have a big series.
So what do you do if you're the Clippers? I mean, I love their roster, but can they get over the hump? Now, San Antonio is going to keep getting older, but – can they?
I'm
going to
tell you the one of the keys.
You have to make roster changes.
Yeah, and the chip is you can get someone that can sort of rebound and play defense like Jordan, but he doesn't do enough offensively. So I'd say you package Jordan, you get a different center in there, free agency or backup, you know, who has more ability, because a lot of times you could have Blake playing center, and then you go pick you up a better small forward than Barnes or Jared Dudley. So basically you're taking DeAndre Jordan for Carmelo and, you know, work out
but
a package, you know.
Barnes, Dudley, and Granger, the three of them, you could get some production out of that position. And each does a little bit something different.
Would you
right?
take
Barnes
Jordan?
Defense, Granger's offense.
Does Phil Jackson tomorrow take a trade of Dudley, Barnes, Granger and Jordan for for your boy Carmelo and Amari? With his contract coming off?
No. No, because none of those players, you would have to really love Danny. You would really have to love DeAndre Jordan, but I don't see him being a Phil type of player. Because the other three at this point in their career are role players, and Amari's coming off your books anyway next year. And Melo, either you get him for 4 more years, 5 more years, or you lose him, and he comes off
your books. Would you do it if you could get rid of your JR headache and take back Crawford or Reggie Bullock? And JR's contract?
Reggie Bullock we have in Tim Hardaway, so I don't need another Reggie Bullock. So it comes down to Crawford. Again, nice asset off the bench, low percentage shooter, jacked up a lot of shots. No, I wouldn't do that either. I'm trying to build the championship.
Would you do it if it wasn't Amari and instead you threw in Bagnani?
We only got 1 more year with him, too. He's got a player option for this year, and then he comes off the books.
That's what the Clippers need to do. I don't know if it's, to them, but what if they did it for a job? Well, I hate to say Josh Smith in Detroit, but, I don't know. It's one of those questions because you're right, and they got to do something because to be where they want to be, which is at the finals, not even at the Western Conference final, the Clippers want to jump up 2 spots next year. To do that, they're going to have to switch up this team. And I love what Redick, Crawford, and Chris Paul give you. Blake's a monster, but you need someone else in the center. DeAndre Jordan, you don't need him and what he does because him and Blake do the same thing. So that's my only concern about them going forward.
But there are what centers are out there, though? That's part of the problem. There's really a handful of good centers. I mean, look, is Andre Drummond possible to get him out of Detroit? I mean, do you have anything that you can give him?
No, you're not giving up Drummond. Drummond's too nice. I wouldn't take DeAndre
Jordan. You give up everybody but Chris Paul and Blake for him. You give up J.J. Redick. You give up Jamal Crawford. You give up DeAndre Jordan. You give up...
It depends on the situation, It depends on what the trade is. I tell you this. I think Andre Drummond... I think his upside is better than DeAndre Jordan.
No, I know. I love Andre Drummond.
I think
I'm just
he's
trying to say, how do the Clippers win a championship? How do they get rid of Drummond, DeAndre Jordan, and get some center in return?
They'd be lucky. How about this? They'd be lucky if they could get Omer Sheik. That would be good enough. How about that? Omer.
That's not bad. Although he has that balloon year, right? Don't he and Jeremy Lin have that balloon year next year?
That's all right.
So it's probably the difference between him and Jordan might be $10 million.
You throw in Dudley. Maybe a young pick, young player that's on your team. Bullock, somebody.
Yeah, maybe. All right,
then you could do it. The money could work out. That might be nice for them because Oshik. I think Oshik has the potential 16-17 a game if he gets the minutes and 10 rebounds. So that's what Duncan's doing right now. So if the Clippers had Duncan right now, wow, that'd be a big difference. Because I'm sorry, DeAndre, you can't get maybe he's averaging 10 and 11. But, his scoring's up and down. You can't do it. So we got to get back to our segments. We like to give out, some awards and talk about different things. And when Ray and Tay are wrong – we admit to it. We write, we write letters to guys in sports because sometimes we bang the table for somebody in a positive way or in a negative way. We're like, we don't believe you. You need more people. Well, we have our segment, and people have been requesting it back. I'm sorry. And it's a fun segment where we say that we're sorry to a team or a player. And in this way, I think Ray and I sometimes, we decide to flip things. I'm going to flip I'm sorry, not to say that I'm sorry because someone was too good and I said they were bad, but to say I'm sorry because I believed in them a little bit and they're not what they thought they would be. So, Ray, why don't you hit it up first? Who, what team, what player, why are you sorry, what are you sorry about, who's your team?
Now, first I have to say I saw the movie Moneyball. I read the book Moneyball. Ooh. I saw Billy Beane as a player. I saw Billy Beane as a GM. And I still continue to disrespect the Oakland A's. And I'm sorry. I really am, because shame on me, because they keep doing it and doing it and doing it well. These guys, without a lot of hoopla, hype, and ado, are just getting it done. I mean, they have the best record in the American League, and really without any offensive star power. Brandon Moss is probably
their best player. No Conseco, no Maguire.
They start with pitching, right? So if you want to see an unbelievable pitcher, look at this kid, Sonny Gray. He's really nice. I mean, he's got a 2.17 ERA.
Remember him from the playoffs.
Is 1.15. But even the other guys, Jesse Chavez, Sonny Gray, even Scott Kazmir got a resurrection in Oakland.
Yeah.
Tommy Malone. I mean, these guys are just getting it done. Now, you knew that they could pitch. Okay, fine. But then you go to their hitting, and you say to yourself, wait a minute. You know, these guys are not household names. I mean, you look at a Brandon Moss is probably the guy that's got, I think he's leading them with a 2.79 average, right? Josh Donaldson, Yoenis Cespedes, Jed Lowry. I mean, they've got
from All-Star Weekend last year.
Leading them in every category. Josh Reddick, Jed Lowry, Yoenis Cespedes, Brandon Moss, Josh Donaldson, Alberto Callaspo. I mean, these are...
I had Donaldson last year on my fantasy baseball team. You're right, man. Listen, they are balling, and it's great to see.
Donaldson is leading the team, and yet they're getting it done without stars. I haven't looked at their payroll, but with a minimum, you know, bottom third payroll, without any stars, the Oakland A's continue to get it done. They are, I mean, I don't even know what to say. They're 25-16, 6-10 winning percentage, which puts them, I should say, second in the American League, right? Detroit's got the best record in baseball. But the Oakland A's in a pretty solid AL West, right? The Angels, Seattle is 20-20. Texas is 20-21. Obviously, Houston is a terrible team. But four teams are pretty good teams, and they're, you know, 2.5 games ahead of the Angels, 25-16. Eventually, they might falter a little bit, but I keep dissing them, and they keep delivering the goods. So to Billy Beane, to Oakland, to the Athletics, to the East Bay, to Stacy, to all
the Bash Brothers.
To the Bash Brothers, right. To Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco, to Carney Lansford, Ricky Henderson, Vida Blue, to Vida all the A's, current and past, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for dissing your A's, because you guys
Mike
get it
Davis
done.
Mike Davis in outfield, they had the different – oh, my gosh, the A's. They had a team. That outfield, oh man, that was a crew. Listen, I gotta say, you know, I'm glad you were apologetic, and I'm sure the fans in Oakland appreciate it, because you know what, they are getting busy and they deserve a little bit of respect and a little bit of appreciation. For me, I'm actually flipping it the opposite way. And I am saying that I'm sorry that I led some people to believe that the Brooklyn Nets were ready, willing, and able. I didn't predict them in, like, the finals or anything like that. I think I had them 3 or 4 in the East or 5. I thought that what they would do with Jason Kidd and with this team is either, you know, this series I said they'd take the Heat to 6. But I thought the Brooklyn Nets, Ray, I thought they were in a place, I guess, if they maybe had Lopez, that they were in a chance to potentially challenge Miami or the Pacers to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, this
maybe
team did
upset
lose
somebody.
Lopez and got nothing in return. So
yeah, no, I would definitely say that. Definitely. But with the talented roster, and I will say this, KG at 6.9 a game, he's done with. I don't know if he comes back for next season. He might want to for the money, but he might just be ready to retire. Pierce, only 13 a game, and, you know, did not have the biggest last two games of this series with the Nets and them losing to the Heat. Really did not. Pierce, you know, I think he's on his last leg. But Darren Williams is someone who was considered a top five point guard. I thought so a couple years ago. I thought he was top three maybe. Darren Williams is scoring 14 points a game, and he's not – We haven't heard that he's unhealthy again. He hasn't always, you know, been that healthy the last couple of years. But there's something that's not right, and there's something that I have to say I'm sorry for, because he's not. I don't think he's right now a top 10 point guard in the NBA. So to me, I gotta say, Brooklyn,
and you got all that
I'm
money tied up in him too.
Yeah, and not just him. Joe Johnson, who I gotta say he was the most impressive of the team. You know, Blatch sort of, you know, had moments, but then Blatch disappeared in the playoffs. I'd say Livingston and Marcus Thornton, for young guys, they showed pretty well in the playoffs this year. But I think this team, we won't see it the same as next year. They do have Plumlee on the uprise. But I'm sorry, Brooklyn, that right now you're going to probably peek out and take a hit, and your Nets are not legit and are not going to win a championship in the next two seasons. So I'm so sorry.
Well, not only that, but think about this. They mortgage their future. They don't have a first-round pick.
A draft pick.
In three of the next 5 years.
Nathan.
So.
It's rough. I think that, you know, going for Pierce and Garnett was good in a sense, but it's a quick 2 years. And I think sometimes that harsh reality, you got to remember, NBA playoffs, in the playoffs, you got to earn. Like, you don't just win it all. You win a round, and you win another round. Look, ask Memphis. Ask Memphis about going to NBA Finals in this last era of OKC, of Spurs, OKC, Spurs, OKC, whatever.
Yeah.
Ask Memphis. Ask the Clippers. You know what I mean? Ask Denver. You know? You don't just get to the Western Conference Finals. You got to earn that. So, same thing in the East, you know? The Pacers, how many years they've been banging, trying to get there.
Well, it's,
you know,
funny because this is a critical year for the Pacers because they went to the second round. They went to the finals. Now they're back in the finals. So this
looks like how Detroit grew and Chicago grew. This should be their year.
Absolutely.
If they're going to, you know, they make that type of move, you're like, okay, well, then y'all made the move, then, you know, you got to be ready to groove. If you're going to make the move, you better be Ray Groove. That's the one question. I want to ask you real quick, just off the top of your head, talking about Darren Williams, let's see if we can name him.
Top five or ten point guards. Point guards that are better than D-Will?
Yeah, right now. I mean, we got, you know, just in the playoffs.
That's very
– Westbrook.
I think off the top of my head, I'd probably say he's 12 to 15.
Yeah, I would say anywhere from 11 to 15, 16, yeah. So
let's do it.
Okay,
we,
so
we
got
the challenge, right?
So we right off the bat, right? We got Paul, Parker, Westbrook. We'll stay
Paul,
in the West.
Parker, Westbrook. Yes.
Lillard and
Dame
Curry.
Lillard,
that's
yep.
four.
And Curry.
So that's five right there in the West, right?
Yep.
Anybody else in the West? Dallas, none of
those
guys.
He's still better than the Memphis point guard than Conley.
Yeah,
Phoenix.
Anybody
what about Phoenix? Eric Bledsoe, Goran Dragic. You could argue both of them. You would take at this point in your career. You take them because of age, but are both of them better? No?
Let's just say Dragic. Bledsoe hasn't proven it by himself as a point guard. Dragic was the
pure
point guard.
Okay, so what is that? Six.
Let's say that's six.
All right. What about Denver? What about Ty Lawson?
Oof. Okay, what? Let's put him on pause.
Let's put him on pause.
Definitely six. Now look at the East. We got Wall. We got Kyrie. That's seven
Wall
and eight.
Wall and Kyrie is eight, yep. What about Kyle Lowry?
I think Lowry's nine.
I think Lowry,
even though Darren Williams did just beat him, I think Kyle Lowry put the
Kyle
business
Lowry
on
had
him.
A better series.
Yeah,
his team
the
has beaten
on
him, but he had a better series.
So that has us at nine. The Sixers, Michael Carter Williams.
What about Jeff Teague?
Ooh, okay, not Carter Williams, but I'll say Teague. Teague is 10.
That's 10. What about a healthy Rondo?
And Rondo and Rose, if they're healthy, they haven't been healthy yet. But yes, that would be 11 and 12. So then we would say Williams at 13. But I'll say this: if we had to go, as we said, he's 13, number 12 would definitely be Teague. And I don't know if we're being honest with ourselves. Could we really say Teague is better than Darren Williams?
No, I couldn't. I can't say Jeff Teague is better than him.
I can't.
But I can
okay,
say
so
Rondo and Rose. I can say Rondo
yes,
and Rose,
he probably
assuming
could.
They come back healthy.
Yeah, so then you would say Darren Williams is the 12th best point
well,
guard
Brandon
in the NBA.
Jennings. Now, that's a style issue. I don't like his game. But
he doesn't play enough D, and D will every once in a while will show up and play a little bit D, I think. But I think he's dropped because you couldn't have told me that you wouldn't have said he was top five, maybe top four, 2-3 years ago.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So I tell you what, D will, I don't know if he's got to lose some weight. Isaiah Thomas had some interesting comments about him. He said he's a system player, and playing under, as much as he wanted to get out of there, as much as Jerry Sloan and he rubbed each other the wrong way,
that was
he played his best basketball in a structured Jerry Sloan system. Now, when it's a little more freewheeling, first under Avery, then under Carlissimo, and now under Kidd, he hasn't been as successful. Now, he's had some injuries, and the ankle hasn't held up. But you could definitely see that once he left Utah, and I don't think it's the money.
Well,
I definitely don't think it's the money. I don't think it's, he signed a big contract and it went to his head.
Oh, no,
that's
no, I
case.
Wouldn't, no. He's a baller.
I don't think
it's about that.
His performance has suffered.
Well, you know what? You're exactly right. And I think if you look at it, it's as simple as I don't think without the system, he knows if he wants to be a running point guard or play in a running system or a slow down, you know, different type of motion or structure offense. I think, you know, he would do a lot better with Sloan, you know, and a lot of pick and roll and stuff like that. But I don't know where he's at because right now I think if D. Will was D. Will, they had the potential to possibly beat the Heat. I really do. Granted, you need a Lopez, but still, maybe without Lopez, I think if he was a top 3-4 point guard, that might have been the difference. You throw in a Chris Paul there. Miami's going down with that roster if you put Chris Paul in there, I believe. So
yeah, you might be right. You might be right.
You know, that's the question. So I got to ask you this. Does LeBron sort of steal the thunder and on Sunday take game one in Indiana?
I think so. I think it goes Heat, Pacers, Heat. I think the Heat win in five. But let me flip it the script a little bit. Your boy, our boy, California Chrome.
Oh, yeah, the Preakness.
That Cali's
a little cold, though.
He had the sniffles, but he's all right. He's shaking it off.
He's all right. He's shaking it off. He's running.
He's winning the Preakness.
I think California Chrome is going to come in third.
Okay.
I got to say no. Top three, though, I think.
All right, no triple crown. It ends early. The pursuit of the triple crown ends early.
It's such a hard thing to do. It's harder than maybe DiMaggio, 51-game hitting streak. It's hard. It's a hard streak, man. That's hard to do.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But, look, well, I'll watch. You know, it's a mile and a half?
Preakness is
mile
exciting.
And a quarter,
Nah, it should be fun. I mean, without a doubt, it's going to be fun. I think, we'll talk obviously Monday night about the Western Conference game, but the East is on Sunday, the playoffs. I'm definitely hyped up. Let me ask you this, if you're the Jets. So Andre Johnson's not so happy. Do you say the Jets will give you Stephen Hill and our third-round pick? Stephen Hill on a third-round pick for Andre Johnson?
Today. I don't know that the Houston Texans
will do
that. But, yes, of course. Stephen Hill with the dropsies and a third-round pick for a Hall of Famer who still probably has two, three more years at an elite level.
I think Andre's great. A lot of players
Decker
have played well.
Andre Johnson together and Chris Johnson?
That'd be serious. And then that way it could be Gino or Vic. It wouldn't matter.
It could be me or you. It doesn't matter. I mean, well, I don't know. I don't have that arm strength.
I could do the West Coast offense. I could do the West Coast offense.
I could hand it off to Chris Johnson. That's about all I could do. But it would be pretty formidable to go from a below-average offensive team to you're in the top third, at least in talent, and maybe in the top five or six offenses, talent wise.
I'm telling you, this is going to be
his career.
A great NFL season. We're going to have to start giving out some fantasy football advice. So great show. We'll be back Monday. Probably have a guest with us. We'll be back with our friends on the UrbanDaily.com. And you can check us out there. Check out both of our shows there, NFL Draft Preview Show and NFL Draft Review Show at the UrbanDaily.com. A great interview with Randall Cunningham. Like always, you can check us out at RandTayToday.com. And thanks for listening, man. We had a great show. And have a great sports weekend. We're out.
Talking sports with friends. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Rantay. There we go. Peace.
See ya.